Apple is just the latest company to delay its return to the office as we see some of these COVID case counts tick higher. The tech giant telling employees earlier this week that it would work, that remote work would continue indefinitely. That came after Google announced it was pushing back its return to the office and also added that employees who weren't vaccinated within 6 months would be fired. The rapid spread of the Omicron variant certainly disrupting office plans and posing new challenges for corporate America as it grapples with this variant. Let's bring in somebody who's quite familiar with how executives are looking at this issue. Rich Lesser, Boston Consulting Group CEO. Rich, it's always good to talk to you because you give us a good pulse of what's happening. The conversation is happening in the C-suite. Having said that, you're quite optimistic about 2022. And I wonder, when you look at the headlines we've gotten over the last week especially, whether that changes that outlook for you.
I think the next couple months, Omicron's going to go very fast around the world and through our own country. I think it's incredibly transmissive. The good news is so far, the danger of it seems to be lower, certainly than Delta, maybe than the original strain. And that's that. If it tests out, well, it'll take weeks to know for sure. That will be an encouraging thing. But still, when you infect so many people, even at lower danger rates, it could still overwhelm health systems and create enormous near-term challenges. So the short-term pressures could be substantial. I do remain, from an economic point of view, optimistic about the year ahead. I think we're on track for a good year. And I think some of the headlines that, you know, talk about inflation risk or talk about other risks mask the underlying strong demand, the strong growth in the workforce, and a drop in unemployment levels, inching back of participation levels that needs to continue to rise, and working through some of the supply chain issues that we've all been dealing with. I think net-net, Q1 may be tough because of Omicron, but the quarters after that, I think, should be quite good.
I think you and I are pretty similar there, Rich, in that I am also an optimist when we're looking at everything that's going on right now. We're trying to figure out what I guess the medical impact might be here. But when it comes to some of those issues, obviously, the longer you push out, I guess, a full recovery, those will persist. So explain the optimism to me there in terms of, I guess, how businesses can navigate all this if their return to normalcy seems like it's getting pushed out even farther and farther.
I think we have to separate two things. Yes, things get pushed out, but I think the Bloomberg average sentiment going into this year was we were going to have 3.9% GDP growth, and now it looks like we'll have 5.5%. Had it not been for some of the challenges we've discussed many times, it would probably be north of 6. So it has had an impact, but against the backdrop of a strong economic year. Next year, I think our projections put us in the 3.5% to 4% range of growth, well above the 2% long-term trend line growth of the U.S. So I think, and business leaders, I think we'll see strong demand, healthy consumer balance sheets, and that's good. The challenge of getting our workforce back, the main challenges now all sit on the labor side. The stresses that our employees feel, the mental stress, the challenge of managing through their families, the challenge of getting enough workers. Most of them feel short on the labor side. They're investing heavily in capital and automation to try to address that in the medium term. But the short-term challenges are real. And everything on the stress side, I think, will sit more and more on labor and getting more workers and getting the right workers for a more digital world and new capabilities. But I think businesses will work through that against the backdrop of generally good performance.
Yeah, let's touch on that a bit more, Rich, because if you think about the challenges we're seeing right now in the economy, it's not so much about the trajectory as in the demand has bounced back. Consumers have shown they're willing to spend, but there's just not enough workers, and the supply demand dynamics are just not in sync. When you talk to executives right now, what are they seeing on that front? I mean, you mentioned automation, but ultimately that's kind of, you know, medium term, long term.
Exactly.
At least in the first half of the year, do they see some of those labor constraints easing up?
Easing, but not as fast as they would like. I mean, we've got three different pressures running around that are affecting the workforce. Well, four. One is a general skills level. The jobs that are available aren't necessarily the skills we need. And I think so much of our work has to be retraining our workers for the jobs of tomorrow to help them be prepared. But in the very near term, we've shut off the immigration tap. We have middle-aged workers with young families facing enormous pressure, partly due to childcare type issues and other things that suppress it. And we have older workers who've often moved towards either a temporary or a permanent early retirement. And we need all three of those levers to be eased to get back to what we'd like. The good news is the unemployment rates themselves, I mean, we're as close to full employment. It took 90 months after the great financial crisis to get back to full employment. We've gotten there in 18 months. So that's encouraging, but we need to get participation up. And I do think many companies are feeling pressures just to get more people right now.
You mentioned kind of two things there. I wonder how big of a hangover impact there might be on growth when it comes to, I guess, why labor force participation has dropped a bit. And some people might lean on the fact that you had a lot of older people in the workforce just calling it early and saying, look, I might as well retire right now. And I wonder what kind of lingering impact that might have. And plus, also, when we talk about why things were good for businesses last year, it seemed like there was a lot of ability to pass along price increases to the end consumer. I'm not sure if that would be able to hold up next year, depending on what happens. But when you factor both of those things in, what do you see changing in 22?
So first, you're right. A number of older workers who might have normally stayed in the workforce for longer have withdrawn. Whether that's permanent or temporary, we need to see. The balance sheet data of that population suggests, you know, they don't have enough to be permanently retired. I mean, individuals, of course, but many of them. So I think, though it's coming back much slower than we would like, we may well see a rebound in participation over time, particularly as we get beyond COVID and some of the fears that's induced that I think cause at least some people to say maybe it's time to step back from the workforce and they can afford to do it in the short term. I think the second thing that the businesses are wrestling with is, yes, you're right, price pressures have been severe and our cost pressures due to inflation, and they passed some of that along. I think we're seeing energy prices moderate. For sure, we won't see prices going back down, but I think there's every reason to believe we're not going to see the continued inflation that we've seen. Remember what we're comping against. When we look at one-year inflation rates, think about where the U.S. and the world, frankly, was, because inflation is not just in the U.S., where the world was a year ago at this time. By the time we get into Q2 this year and Q3, we're going to be comping against a different environment. If we can avoid getting in a wage price spiral, which is what I think a lot of the Fed actions were geared to address this week, we avoid that, then I think we will see inflation moderate and get back to much more normal levels. And that's certainly what long-term bonds are saying. That's what long-term household surveys are saying about their five-year inflation expectations.
And finally, Rich, we got that news from Google this week saying that they would fire employees who don't meet the vaccine mandate, given that, you know, I mean, the company has said they're going to give their employees about 6 months or so to be compliant. It feels like there's growing impatience around this issue, and companies are starting to say we have to draw a line in the sand if we want to get back to as normal as possible. Do you see that divide growing between companies who are saying, that's it, you've got to get mandated, you've got to get vaccinated, or else you'll be fired, and those who say, we're just not going to do any mandates?
First of all, I think most companies believe deeply that they need their employees to get vaccinated and are frustrated at how hard it's been, the way the issues become politicized, and just how difficult. And I think more and more are trying to find ways to provide anywhere from encouragement to pressure to mandates to accelerate that. I mean, we went down that journey. We spent a huge amount of effort on education and getting our own colleagues to understand the need. The vast, vast majority of them did get vaccinated. And then we moved towards a mandate in September, but it was really just for the last couple percent. I do think we'll see some movement in that direction, particularly when labor is so short. I do think a number of companies that would like to move in that direction feel tremendous pressure at the risk if they have too many people leave the firm as a result, that it'll put them in a very difficult place. And depending on where your facilities are located, the composition of your workforce, that pressure can be quite real, where so many Americans have chosen not to be vaccinated so far, despite all of the evidence and all of the education.
Yeah, and that seems to suggest why tech companies have been moving more aggressively, those who haven't necessarily been dealing with the kind of labor shortage that some other sectors have. Rich, it's always good to talk to you. Rich Lesser, Boston Consulting Group Global Chair, joining us on this Friday.